The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio Today is brought to you by Assurance Home Care and Prince Masters.
And welcome to another edition of Guardian Radio Today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. It is my pleasure to be with you today on this still coolish Tuesday, the 10th of February. And we're almost in the middle of February, people. I don't understand how the year just floating by, but we're almost in the middle of February. We have another great show lineup for you today, and I'm going to introduce our special guest in just a second. But today's show, I've entitled this show, Fibroids. Do women have to suffer in silence? That's the question. The prevalence of fibroids in the Caribbean, approximately 50% to 70% of women in the Caribbean region are affected by uterine fibroids at some point in their lives, with the condition described as an epidemic in the Bahamas. Fibroid-related surgeries, specifically myomectomies, which is the removal of the fibroids, preserving the uterus, and hysterectomies, removal of the uterus, are among the most common surgical procedures requested by women in the Bahamas. While hysterectomies and myomectomies have traditionally been the primary, often only surgical options for women in the Bahamas, non-surgical options like uterine artery embolization, or UAE, have been available locally since 2021 as a less invasive alternative. Our special guest today, or one of them, is Dr. Mikhail Higgins. He's our country's first board-certified, fellowship-trained interventional radiologist, specializing in image-guided, minimally invasive interventions. He's a native of Nassau, Bahamas, having graduated from Queens College in 2000. Gentleman of the Year, my son is actually in Gentleman's Club this year, and a valedictorian for the Alpha Phi Alpha Honors Day Convocation. He's a former 400-meter hurdler for the Bahamas' junior national team. He received his bachelor's degree with honors from McAllister College, St. Paul, Minnesota, and his MD from Wake Forest University School of Medicine with distinction. He holds an advanced professional MPH with a concentration in healthcare policy and healthcare administration from Yale University. And he completed his residency in radiology as well as a fourth-year concentration in interventional radiology at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. He completed his fellowship in IR at the University of Virginia and is a diplomat of the American Board of Radiology in Diagnostic and Interventional Radiology. That's a mouthful, but I had to say it because I want y'all to know you ain't talking to no cut and paste YouTube Googler. You're talking to a real doctor. Yes. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, man?
Good afternoon, Dr. Enius, brother Anku.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm very excited to finally, we've been planning this show, I think, from last year.
Indeed, you know.
But Dr. Higgins, the statistics are alarming. 50 to 70% of women in the Caribbean region are affected by uterine fibroids, and it's being described as an epidemic in the Bahamas. When you went off to medical school, let's just start there. When you went off to medical school, was this something that was on your mind at all?
You know, it's so interesting. It really wasn't.
Right.
It really wasn't. You know, when I went to medical school, you know, I was just trying to do something that I thought would be helpful to the Bahamas. I remember there was a doctor here. Higgins, you know, you're talking about being a heart surgeon. You know, we got that. We got that. But you I think you should consider something called interventional radiology.
Mm.
And I was like, what is interventional radiology? He said, brother, just look it up.
Wow.
And so I looked it up and I said, wow, you know, I could essentially provide non-surgical alternatives, whether that be in the brain for something like a stroke or whether that be in the prostate for something like a TURP, all non-surgical alternatives, or instead of a knee replacement, I could be there embolizing blood vessels to abnormal parts of the knee, or I could be in, obviously, uterus, treating fibroids or opening up the fallopian tube that, you know, is preventing infertility. Mm. And so all these different things were just, like, very interesting to me. Every part of medical school I enjoyed, from psychiatry to pediatrics, and I did not have to choose the patient population. Mm. I didn't have to choose children versus the elderly. Mm. I could treat them all. I did not have to choose the brain versus the prostate. I could treat both, right, wow, in one field. And so for me, it was not really about fibroids. But what happened was I had an aunt who, I remember her, you know, nothing would keep her out of work, okay? Mm. And then one sort of year, she was out of work for like 3 months. And I, you know, didn't really know what it was, what was going on. And then I found these pictures, you know, when pictures were a thing, right? And I saw these little balls, right? Mm. And I saw, like, you know, somebody like pointing to the balls and whatnot. And I was like, what are these? And I asked her what they were. And she said, fibroids. And that was literally the first time I actually even heard the word.
Wow.
Okay? And it really wasn't until later on where I started sort of, you know, I was in medical school now getting ready to finish, and I had chosen interventional radiology as my specialty. And actually in 2003, so I graduated medical school in, when did I graduate medical school? I graduated medical school in 2009. But when I was finishing up undergrad, I sort of Condoleezza Rice, where she had some fibroid treatment. And I remember I went back and I looked up this sort of article, and it talked about an interventional radiologist who I now know is a colleague of mine. His name is Jim Spees, where he basically treated this woman in 2003 in November. And instead of my aunt having the three-month time off that she had basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday she was back to the White House. And everybody knows Condoleezza Rice is a, you know, she is what she is. She's a go-getter, you know. She's a beast at what she does. Mm. But no matter how much of a beast you are, if you have a surgery, you really can't get back to work in 4 days. So I was like, what is this thing? And so I started asking my colleagues about it, you know, in Ireland. They're like, no, this is something we do. Mm. This is something we do. And so I started going down the rabbit hole about fibroids and trying to understand, like, what it is. And I was like, okay, 70% of women across the globe have this condition. I said, well, what? Mm. And so then I go a little deeper. And then I say that it predominantly affects women of color, women of African descent, 80 to 90%. And then I was like, okay, well, what about other ethnicities? And I see women of Asian descent, 23 to 26%. So I'm like, that's like one in four. Mm-hmm. And then I look at white women, 50 to 60%. I said, no, this is so crazy. And so I think about my region, and I think about the Caribbean, I think about my country, the Bahamas, and I'm like, well, what can I do to help? And so that's when I started sort of going on this sort of path of like, okay, well, if this is something that I can offer, well, maybe I can come back and offer it. And I think it wasn't until later on that I started asking people. I said, well, I'm never hearing about women with fibroids. And they're like, if you start talking about it, people will start showing up. And so I, you know, one of my homegirls, she calls it the cocktail reception trick. She said, you know, you just start talking about fibroids in a room full of people. And she said, just watch people start coming towards you. Mm. And I started talking about it. And people started migrating towards me in little rooms, like, you know, and it just got to a point where I'm like, wow. And people started telling stories in these little environments. And I would have maybe two people who knew each other, right? Mm-hmm. And the person who came with that person to that event didn't even know that person had had fibroids. Or you would have another person who was dating this person who now is now hearing a story of that they never heard, and they dated this person for 3 years, okay?
Wow.
And then you have another person who's now in the room with the person who they came with, and they're telling you how they had their uterus removed last year, and it was the horrible, the most drastic thing they ever thought they could do, and they were still suffering issues from it. Mm. And so I found that it was something that you needed to create a safe space to talk about.
Right.
It wasn't something, despite how common it is, despite, you know, how sort of highly incident it is, it's not something that people feel comfortable talking about. And so for me, you know, and this is why I'm just so grateful to be here, is that being able to be in an environment where we could provide a safe space to women to speak about it. And that's how I evolved to the point where I'm at now.
Yeah, because this idea of suffering and silence, that's really what I want to kind of focus on today, because I want everyone within earshot of this show, whether it's the live show or the recording, to understand that you do not have to suffer at all, really, and especially not in silence. If you're talking about, you know, 50 to 70% of women, you know somebody with fibroids.
100%.
Or someone who's developing fibroids. Now, in your, before we get into the treatment, in your work, is there any focus on how fibroids are created in, or started in the body?
Yeah, so great question, mm-hmm. Brother Anku. So fibroids occur because of a genetic predisposition, okay? So there are little parts of the gene that are called loci, mm-hmm. okay? And those parts of a gene are almost like code for a program, right? Mm-hmm. So the code programs for this, this part of the code programs for that. So this part of the gene predisposes to women to develop fibroids, okay? So one of the questions people may say, well, do black women have more of these sites on the gene than white women? The verdict is still out on that, okay? But we know that there are parts that have been identified scientifically that actually correspond to predisposing a woman to fibroids. That's the first thing. So this is what we call nature, but of course the counter to that is what?
The nurture.
Nurture, yeah. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously the environment, okay? So let's talk about it. So a question one may ask is, well, why do black women, women of African descent, of which many in the women in this country in the Caribbean are, to develop fibroids at such a high rate? So let's sort of run down that sort of list. So fibroids, what's fertilizer for fibroids is a hormone called estrogen. Mm. Everybody knows this is what makes women. Right,
okay? Right.
That specific hormone that is the gift is also a curse for women, okay? So if you look at black women as a white woman and you sort of look at sort of when that black woman would have sort of entered her first period, what we call menarche, it was typically at a younger age than her white counterparts, okay? So a woman who's black is typically going to have a higher duration, a longer duration of which she's exposed to estrogen because she experienced periods earlier. Her menstrual cycles would sort of started at an early age. Mm. So if you look at that sort of length of time, that duration of this estrogen being present, cycling it up and down in a black woman, it's going to be higher for her than a white woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that fertilizer is going to have more time to act on those genes that are already in place to develop fibroids. That's number one.
Right.
The second thing is, when we look, unfortunately, at sort of environments like the Caribbean, in the U.S., if you look at sort of obesity rates, the rate of sort of women being overweight, black women unfortunately have a highest rate of obesity, okay? Mm. Now, than white women, okay? What women need to know is that estrogen is found in four main sites. The first site is the ovaries, the reproductive organs of a woman. Mm. The second site are the adrenal glands, which is basically these glands that sit atop of the kidneys that either release adrenaline, the fight or flight or freeze hormone, cortisol, the stress hormone, but they also release what?
Estrogen, okay.
The third site, which is, you know, will explain a lot for many women, is the placenta. Many women don't even know they have fibroids until what? During pregnancy, when the placenta is just surging estrogen, this fertilizer. And so they already had fibroids, maybe the size of marbles or the size of walnuts or the size of almonds, but now they water the size of oranges and other size of tangerines and other size of grapefruits because of that growth spurt during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So we covered what? We covered the ovaries, we covered the adrenal glands, we covered the placenta. But the fourth site is what people don't talk about, and that site is called the what? Adipose tissue, fat cells.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So white women and black women, okay? There's going to be higher circulating estrogen in part because of the fact there's going to be a higher sort of concentration of fat cells, okay?
Okay.
So that is the second thing. The third thing is, you know, everybody during COVID, one of the things people wanted to talk about is, what are the herbal supplements you could take? Or what are the vitamins you could take in order to sort of, you know, ward off COVID or treat COVID? And something that people talked about was vitamin D. Mm. But then people were like, well, isn't vitamin D for calcium absorption? True. So here's when it comes into fibroids now. So vitamin D is helpful not only for calcium absorption, okay? But the question is, how does vitamin D develop? Okay. Vitamin D is activated by what? Ultraviolet light, right? What is the difference between a white woman and a black woman? Just on the obvious and the skin surface, it's melanin, right?
Yeah.
Melanin.
Mm-hmm.
So melanin repels the sun, which is why we don't suffer from skin cancers to the degree that white women do. Mm-hmm. Melanin sort of repels, which is why we don't get sunburned the way obviously a white person does. Mm-hmm. But it also means that we have to spend longer in the sun to do what? To activate and form and develop vitamin D.
Right.
Now, what does vitamin D do in addition to sort of calcium absorption? It actually is an anti-inflammatory vitamin. It's very unique. It also promotes something called apoptosis. Apoptosis is basically cell death or suicide for bad cells. What is sort of fibroids? Bad cells. So if you have less vitamin D, which many black women do, they actually suffer from vitamin D deficiency, okay? they're going to lack the intrinsic anti-inflammatory mm-hmm. and sort of immune modulating sort of effects of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. So we covered the estrogen, obviously, sort of, you know, occurring at a lower age with the menarche. We covered sort of the obesity. We covered the vitamin D deficiency. What is also something that black women have that white women typically don't have? Typically permed hair. Okay, how do you perm your hair? Okay, you typically use relaxants. You typically use these substances that are known to be what? Endocrine disruptors. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you go to the food store and you look on the cover and you know of different things, body washes and shampoos. And what do they now say that they never used to say before? Paraben and phthalate free. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, well, I guess that's a good thing. I don't want no paraben. I don't want no phthalate.
I don't
want
to buy that anyway.
Yeah, free. You understand? So let's understand this. But these are things that disrupt the endocrine system. So now, if you were to Google, there's certain hair companies that, you know, back in the day used to, you know, hey, just for me, right?
Yep.
These companies have been party to lawsuits because they have substances in them that not only sort of promote other things, but they also promote the development of fibroids. They increase the recurrence of fibroids. They promote the growth of fibroids, okay? These are four distinct things that we've talked about, of course, and there are others. The other thing that I didn't touch on is that if you look at a woman who is obviously overweight, what are the sort of, you know, lifestyle pattern that that woman is going to choose? The first thing is what? That woman is going to choose typically foods that are going to be what? Processed, mm-hmm. meat, right? Dairy, all things that are what? Pro-inflammatory, okay? Mm-hmm. Promoting fibroid growth. Okay, but what is it the thing that she's going to do less of? Exercise. What does the data show if you were to take two twins, right? Right? Two females, genetically identical, okay? One twin exercises and the other twin doesn't. Same genes now. Mm-hmm. Who's going to develop fibroids at a higher rate and larger fibroids? The one who doesn't exercise.
Right.
So independent of any other factors, exercise itself can actually reduce the development of fibroids.
Okay? Wow.
And so, you know, with nature, there's a component. There's a lot that we can't control, but there's a lot that we do control, which is why in our program at the Bahamas 5-Minute Natural Clinic, we focus on the entirety of those factors.
Wow. I just wanted to make sure the listeners understand as best as possible what fibroids are, how they, show up in women's bodies. Men can't have fibroids, right?
Men can't have fibroids.
I just wanted to clear that up. Right. Someone can call. I think I have fibroids.
You put a fine point on that one. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. You brought with you two brave souls here today, two brave ladies. And I want to commend them for being here.
Absolutely.
I want them to tell their story with regard to how you all met. And I want to ask them, were they suffering in silence or what exactly was their experience with regard to fibroids? And so I'm going to allow you to introduce them and then they could just jump right in because this is important because we two men, we could talk all day, but we got some women in the studio, you know, who actually have experienced this. So I will let you introduce them.
No. Thank you, Brother Anku. So first of all, you know, again, you know, and we talked a little bit before the show, being able to be here and to talk about fibroids and raise awareness is meaningful enough, mm-hmm. but to have women that decided that they did not want to suffer in silence, but not only that, but they decided to essentially go what I call the least travel road, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have two there, and these are, you know, women in my clinic, I call them queens. These yes. are my UFE, my fibroid queens. And they have very unique stories. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait to. So on my right, I have Natasha. Mm-hmm. Natasha actually works at the Family Medicine Center. Okay. She supports the Bahamas Fibroid Intervention Clinic. Mm-hmm. And little did I know, for the years working with her, she actually was suffering from fibroids, so we'll jump into that. Mm-hmm. And then I have my girl, Lillian, mm-hmm. who has the best name in the world, Lillian Simillion. You know, if only Lil Wayne heard that before he wrote a song.
I know, right?
So I got my girl, Lillian, over here. And Lillian also has a unique story, mm-hmm. You know, and so I just can't wait to give him a platform to chat. So mm-hmm. maybe we'll start with Lillian and then we could go into it.
Yeah, just come right up to the mic and speak right in. You're safe here. Yeah, yeah.
Good afternoon, everyone.
You don't need these. Tell someone calls in. Okay. So if you don't want to put them on, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Put the mic a little closer to you. Yeah.
All right.
So tell us, were you suffering in silence, Lillian, with your fibroids?
Well, actually, at first I was suffering in silence because, of course, you know, that's like a taboo story.
Yeah.
So it was like, who am I going to have this conversation with? And, you know, I don't know much people, you know, would really openly share their mm-hmm. personal business like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had some conversations with relatives and also with other persons who, you know, gave me little ideas of what they were experiencing, you know, because I wanted to, you know, wonder what was going on with me.
Yeah.
You know, so many years ago, I had a procedure done because I was experiencing, you know, the same symptoms again with the heavy bleeding, mm-hmm. the bloating, the pain, you know, and at that time the doctor told me, well, you have to. So at that point in time, I was like, so what are we going to do? Because, you know, I don't want to experience this pain for, you know, all through my years and whatsoever.
Right.
So
right.
What are we going to do?
Every time your cycle comes, you're in pain.
Listen.
Essentially. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Every month, it was a different story. Mm. It was like a movie being cut on me. Like, I was just a star of my own show.
Ah, Lord.
You know, the pain, mm-hmm. the pain. You know, some pains were sharper than the others, you know. And let me tell you, the last time when I decided that I need to do something about this, it's like, it got me to a point where I actually couldn't move.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, no.
Wow.
I need to talk to my doctor to see what's going on. Because another thing would used to happen to me too, I had to like prep my body, like taking painkillers and stuff when I know it's about that time.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to always be doing that because, you know, your body will get used to painkillers.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what, let me speak to my doctor, you know, put pride aside.
Yeah.
You know, and just have that conversation. So mm-hmm. I went and I had that conversation with my doctor, and he was able to refer me mm-hmm. to Dr. Higgins. And here we are, Dr. Higgins. I met him. We had a consultation. And through the consultation, it was, at first I was a little bit afraid, mm-hmm. you know, because I didn't know what he was going to say. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he had, like, I didn't want to hear that story where, oh, maybe I need to take your
uterus out. Yeah.
You know,
hysterectomy, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear that.
And I'm because you were referred to Dr. Higgins, because
yes.
I have a good friend of mine. She lives in Atlanta, and she went she had the same experience as you were having. And the first doctor she saw was like, well, you just need a hysterectomy. And she was like, I'm not taking that as an answer. She mm-hmm. she went to one of Higgins' colleagues in Atlanta and had the same procedure done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were blessed to at least be guided towards him in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that my doctor recommend that I see Dr. Higgins. You know, and when I met him, we were able to have that conversation. And I must say, during that first consultation, I was really sold based on him explaining the procedure and everything like that. And, you know, and he gave me hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, I think I'm going to do this. Because I was still a little bit indecisive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but boy, I happened to be laying in bed one night and, you know, going on social media. TikTok. There he was.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and then from then on, the videos kept coming and stuff like that. And, you know, I heard different testimonies from the different persons, you know, and I was like,
confidence.
Yes, I really.
So now you've made up your mind. I'm going to do this. how long does everything take from the time you get in with Dr. Higgins to the time you're back to work or whatever? How long is that period?
Well, so I should, I'd say when I got in, I finally booked to have my procedure done with Dr. Higgins. I did it at the end of October. I went in. The procedure was like about a few hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few hours. And then the recovery, the experience was amazing. I must say Dr. Higgins was there every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was very informative. He, you know, let me know beforehand, this is what you're going to experience. This is what you need to do. So you just have to, you know, follow through.
Yeah.
So I did my part and he did his part. And let me tell you something.
Teamwork. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything just worked right out just the way he said it was going to work out. That's
mm-hmm.
just how it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want persons to know, Dr. Higgins, you go and you talk to him, he is listening.
Mm-hmm.
When you think he ain't listening, he
mm-hmm.
listen
mm-hmm.
because he's a man. He could tell you everything that you said right back to
right
you. And I was like, oh, you was listening to that
right,
party.
Right.
Yeah, so
yes.
he's not one of those doctors mm-hmm. who just rushes you. You write a prescription and say, go and do this. No, he makes sure he gets to understand the background,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything about you as a person, you know, just to help you get to the point to make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would just want to say to persons out there who considering or who is thinking about doing this process, please come and do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't skip out on the best part now, because after you do this procedure, your next cycle come.
Listen.
I want to hear about that. Because I saw you was waiting now. You had your pills in one hand.
Listen.
Should I start taking some pills? What was that like?
I had to take no pills.
Wow.
I had to take no pills.
Mm-hmm. Come a little closer to the mic. Mm.
And the thing is, too, before having the procedure, I had heavy bleeding. So that means using multiple pads
mm-hmm.
throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd say from 7 to 8 pads a day.
Wow. So that's expensive too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then if you want to even that extra protection, you know, you
yes.
use the tampon.
So normally how many pads would a woman use like a regular and a regular cycle? If you're using 7 to 8, what would be the regular amount? One or two?
But right now. Now I know. Right now, just to real, I'll say 3 morning, noon, and night.
Okay, and that's fair. I just want people to understand mm-hmm. what you were up against, because that's basically like twice, more than twice as the normal use, which means if you only had to buy one pack, you had to buy two. You understand?
Exactly.
So that's
before.
Money, pain,
mm-hmm.
all this going on. Today is Dr. Mikhail Higgins. And we're talking about fibroids. Do women have to suffer in silence? We actually have some women in here who were suffering in silence and they are no longer suffering. And so we're giving some anecdotal stories. We're going to give the phone lines and get to some text in a short while. I just want to make sure that these ladies are heard, because they came up here and I thought it was very brave of them to come. When he said he was bringing someone, I said, wow, they're brave. They came up here. So I'm grateful. But we're going to run to a break and be back after this on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day, back after this.
Screening for colorectal cancer should begin at the age of 45. Reduce your risk for colon cancer and schedule your colonoscopy today at reduced prices for the months of March and April at the office of Dr. Harold Mullings, located next to Princess Margaret Hospital. Call us today at 328-5550 or WhatsApp 816-1417.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. Now we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out. Can we report that too?
Of course we can. man.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Are you or someone you love in need of at-home care support? Maybe you require medication administration, mobility assistance, or post-surgical recovery support. Do you have a loved one who is suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia and need patient-centered support? Well, there's a caring, affordable, and trusted solution available for you. It's called Assurance Home Care. We have certified Bahamian nurses and caregivers, and we can provide both hourly or monthly rates. Call us now for a free consultation at 242-810-8995. At Assurance Home Care, we provide quality care you can trust right at home.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk day.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Fibroids. Do women have to suffer in silence? Our special guest today, Dr. Mikhail Higgins, and he is an interventional radiologist. And I didn't even know what that was until you came on the island, and I was like, okay. But he works in many ways using within this field. But today we're talking about, and he's been working a lot with fibroids. And so Dr. Higgins was explaining to us earlier what fibroids are, how they occur. And he brought two of his patients in who were given their testimonies on their experiences with fibroids and, of course, with Dr. Higgins. And so I want to introduce the second patient in here. Just tell everyone your name again and let us know what was your experience with fibroids?
Hi, everyone. So my name is Natasia. Mm-hmm. I work at Family Medicine Center where Dr. Higgins works as well. I found out I had fibroids after I had my first child. This would have been in 2002. Yeah, 2002. And they were small, and I had no issues or anything. Nice, slim, and trim, and everything. And after a few years, I started having heavy periods. Mm-hmm. And I used to be constipated really bad. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm at work, I would you suffer in silence because no one realizes that you're taking days off because of this, because you have these bad periods. Mm. Like, I literally didn't want to take a chance to go because I might have an accident because of how heavy it is. Mm. I'm too painful to come out of bed. So, like, literally every month, I know if my period is going to come on within the week, I can't make it. Wow. The pains was awful. Like, it literally felt like I was having surgery. That's how bad the pains were.
Wow.
Horrible. Taking painkillers and using pads up to, like Lillian said, seven pads, and you also have to use tampon for extra protection. I think I reached my limit. Well, I reached my limit when I started, like, my stomach was really, really bloated. I was looking like I was 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
Because that's how far the fibroids was pushing up. Walking was like a challenge because I was like out of breath. I didn't want to go anywhere because nothing fits properly. I just had it. Yeah. I even had the myomectomy scheduled. And I know Higgins was there, and he was doing this procedure.
You waking with the mind. Hey, Doctor, like, how you doing? Yeah, you good? Yeah, good, man.
I was like, you know, when you only hear about this one way of getting rid of fibroids, you don't want to try nothing new.
Right.
But the only reason I really said, okay, let me just check it out, because the Facebook advertisements kept popping up in my feed. So me and my husband, we sat down, because I even had a miscarriage, actually.
Okay.
And yeah, we was trying to have a child, and honestly and truly, we got tired of buying pregnancy tests.
Wow.
Because he was like, you know what, this ain't nothing happening. You know, the fibroids just blocking everything, ain't making nothing work. Wow. So he sat down with me, we watched the videos, and he's like, you know what, it wouldn't hurt. You know, we hear what the risk is of having a myomectomy, blood loss, you're in hospital for almost a week, compared to what the female's saying on the videos, their experience, you know, and it was positive. So I decided, even after I had the myomectomy booked, I decided to see Dr. Higgins. And like Lillian said, speaking with him made you feel comfortable. You know, everything you said, like she say, you would back you just to make sure you know that he on the same page as you and he understand what you're going through. So that made me feel really comfortable. I canceled the myomectomy and booked the procedure with Dr. Higgins. So that was... Yeah, he sold me at that appointment.
Wow. After your procedure, again, I want to know, you know, your next cycle coming.
Right. Well, let's talk about the procedure, though.
Sorry, let's do that. Okay.
The procedure, I'm not even sure if it was a couple hours because it felt so quick. It was really quick. Plus.
Now, are you, what's the term, doc? When they fully...
General anesthesia.
No, I was awake.
It was general or it was local?
Yeah.
You were awake. Okay.
I was awake and watching the whole show. Wow. And we had a little concert in there, too. So we was listening to 90s jam straight through. So it was really...
Bring your playlist.
It was really fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah, it was.
So put that on the poster.
Who would have said something like that, right?
It was really fun. Wow.
I had to do it again, minus the little pain after the procedure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad. It was good. And Dr. Higgins and his team, everything they know what's going to happen, they prepare you for it. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't even surprised at whatever I went through. Mm-hmm. I was ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
I followed taking the medications to a T and eating right, make sure I heal properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grateful for the time off, even though he said we didn't need all that. But because you feel brand new after, like right after, my husband even was tripping at how quickly he saw a change in my stomach size. You know, even feeling it wasn't as hard as it was before. So we really saw a change right away. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I didn't even know what to expect because I so used to heavy. When I even bought a big, the pad, but I usually use almost like Pampers. But anyway, I even bought that prepared to wear them, and I didn't even need it.
Wow.
Like, I literally could use a thin, almost like panty liner. So it was really like, and it's still like that.
Mm-hmm. Night and day.
And I don't even have to call in sick.
No.
No. No, That's the badge.
That's the badge. Like. I don't even have to call in sick.
I didn't know you lying if you call in sick. You're not wrong with that.
Yeah, it's really...
Wow.
It's really good. And I can't wait to my follow-up, because, you know, you have your follow-up business to see what is up.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was really... I appreciate and I am happy that I went with Dr. Higgins with this procedure.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely a godsend and... Mm-hmm. Any female out there second guessing doing this procedure that they've never heard of, try it, because you have females who've done it and they have success stories.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
none of it is a lie. Mm-hmm. It is real.
Mm-hmm.
It is real. It's good to have this relief. You feel regular, you know, like it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Brand new.
So, Dr. Higgins, with regard to fibroids reoccurring after this type of procedure, what type of data is there on that?
Yeah, so if
your experience. Yeah.
Sure. So I'll give you the data, I'll give you my experience, okay? So, you know, I would say if you were to go into the early 2000s and you were to look up sort of the recurrence rate between myomectomy and uterine fibroid embolization, what it would show is that probably about 1 in 9 to 1 in 8 persons, roughly about 15%, would redevelop fibroids within probably 4 years, okay? Mm. So that was sort of the data in the past. You know, I've been doing this procedure for the past, well, I've been doing it since 2013. Mm. I had an independent practice since 2017, 2016. Mm. And I've probably only had 2 issues of recurrence. Okay. And I've treated probably close to 900 patients. Okay.
Wow.
Since I've been doing it in the Bahamas since 2021, I've had 0 issues with recurrence. Okay. Mm. I probably had 1 patient who may have had a residual fibroid, maybe like a little cherry-sized fibroid that was still residual. Mm. And what's interesting is that, you know, anytime you get a myomectomy, you know, there's an ultrasound that's done. Okay? Mm-hmm. An ultrasound just shows shadows. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm a radiologist, you know, as I trained to do before I became an interventionalist. Mm-hmm. Just shows shadows. Okay, doesn't show what's living, or essentially what has been treated. Okay, so you could have just you know, meat and potatoes, whatever post. Okay, but it doesn't show you what's treated. Now after an embolization, now we always get an MRI, right? An MRI pre-procedure, I mean MRI post-procedure. Mm. We show blood is going to all the fibroids and lighten them up like bulbs on a Christmas tree. Mm. And then we show you post-procedure when they're now getting reabsorbed now and they have 0 blood flow to them, okay? If you look at all my patients, as I said, there's maybe been 1 patient that had maybe like a little residual fibroid post. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, you know, how are your, this, it's so interesting because when you go into literature, you do see this like 15% for both myomectomy and embolization, right? And you know, the response I usually give is the following. In the Bahamas, we have mechanics who are extremely experienced, and we have mechanics who are less experienced, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you take, you know, somebody, you know, had some money and they got a Ferrari and they brought it to the Bahamas, you probably may not find 0 mechanics
right
that could look at that Ferrari because they don't have the experience. So it's all about where your focus goes, your energy flows. And my focus has been on fibroids for the past decade. And so I do what I do. And, you know, my patients obviously reap the benefits of that. And so in terms of recurrence rate, we've not had issue recurrence. But the second piece about recurrence that I'll talk about is that, and I just had it when I was in Boston last week, I actually had dinner with the person who used to refer to me, the bulk of my patients, because I had the largest fibroid practice in Boston at the time of my leaving Boston in 2023. Mm-hmm. And that person who's the head of minimally invasive surgery, Dr. Naya Noel, we were talking about her issues of recurrence and how recurrence can occur post-myomectomy. And I told her one of the things that I'm very focused on, and you started off the conversation by talking about what you consider to be medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Bahamas. You know, if you know me, you know, 20 years ago, as a man, I had dreadlocks, right?
Yes.
Right? You know, I said dreadlock, yes. dreadlock doctor, right? Right? But what does that mean? I mean that to say is that what we do is extremely important. The lifestyle components of what we do is very important. The nutrition components of what we do is very important. So me doing a surgery or a procedure on you is good, right? I use my procedures to clean house. Mm. But the way we keep the house clean is by doing the nutritional consultation and nutritional optimization, and then the herbal supplementation, and then the exercise management, okay? Mm. So being able to understand where those pillars stand and how they contribute to not only getting your house clean, but keeping it clean is very important. So if you were to look at the normal life cycle for fibroid development, okay, you know, it's just, you know, we're from the Bahamas, so we know the whole concept of subsistence farming. If you were to burn a lot, okay, there's going to be a God-given time before new weeds develop.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could do. Mm-hmm. God has determined that this is a time before new needs to develop. You don't have to do anything for the weeds to form. They're just going to form, right? So we know that if we were to remove all of the fibroids, whether it be a myomectomy or an embolization, there's usually an 8 to 15-year period before new fibroids. If you do a perfect myomectomy, right, congratulations, there's going to be an 8 to 15-year cycle. Now, with the program that we have, we could take you from 15 to 20 years because of the fact that the herbal supplementation, the nutritional optimization and the exercise management is actually timed after the procedure. Many people on, I saw a lady on TikTok ask me the other day. She said, "Doc, man, I don't really think I could do this procedure, but can you give me, you know, a little sort of nutritional and herbal plan?" I said, "Well, it's about timing. It's about sequencing. The sequencing is off. You could do herbal supplementation all you want now, but you're not going to get rid of your fibroids. Mm. It's almost like holding smoke near a beehive. I could hold that smoke by the beehive. The bees will never move. But the minute I walk away, the bees coming for you. Right. Like they ain't dead, right? But that smoke has got them to the point where they're subdued.
Yes.
So you could take herbal supplements, but the 1 week, did you decide not to? Don't go bad-mouthing the people who sell in herbal supplements because you feel like your fibroids come back. No, no, no. You just didn't understand what was happening. Mm-hmm. The herbal supplements were keeping you and your symptoms at bay as long as they're present. But if you were to get a full treatment now and then do the herbal supplement, you could skip a week and there's forgiveness in the system. You could skip a month and there's forgiveness in the system. But you need to know that that is something that is helping to keep the house clean, but it won't get your house clean.
Mm. Yeah, it's like pouring bleach all over the dirty.
Exactly. Or perfume on
your bed.
Yeah. You got a bed voice. And then put your cologne and your perfume
Exactly. Well, listen, we got a lot of texts coming through. And we got to run to our news and some commercials coming up. But when we come back, the phone lines are 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, the Family of Violence, toll-free, 242-300-5720. Of course, the Guardian Radio text line is powered by BTC. That's 422-4796. Of course, standard text rates do apply. We're also streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com, as well as Cable Bahamas 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. So get ready. You can start calling as soon as you hear the news ending. And then we're gonna run into the text first, and then we'll jump on some phone calls. But keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. You run to the news now? Yeah, let's run to the news now. And then, because I don't want to start this because I know what's gonna happen. The news can come, we could be right in the middle of something. So let's just run straight to the news and some commercials and be back after this. Keep it locked.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Edius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. Our special guest today, Dr. Mikhail Higgins, an interventional radiologist. And we're talking fibroids because there are a lot of women suffering in silence and they're suffering on the whole. So in the first hour, we had some anecdotal stories of Dr. Higgins' patients. And I'm very happy that they did come and they did share, and they're going to continue to share. I want to dive into some of these texts, and of course the phone lines are open now for those who want to call in. And then I want to jump back on into the conversation. This text says, "I never heard a man so excited to talk about a period." She said, "This person says very happy for your guests and." And her successful outcome, that was after your story. This text says, they've sent several texts. It says, "I'm not overweight." Sorry, that's not where it starts. Let's see. It starts up here. "Good day, I'm a female with a huge, serious fibroid that gives the appearance that I'm 3 months pregnant. I went to a private doctor, and he gave me a DNC, which caused me to bleed even heavier for a whole year and a half every day. Therefore making me severely anemic and almost killing me because my hemoglobin was at 4 and it was supposed to be at 12. Mm. I've consulted and most told me it would cost $10,000 to remove my fibroid. And if anything went wrong, they would take out my uterus. And I was completely against that. Now I give up and I just live with the pain. Wow, doc. How many stories do you hear like that?
Many, many, unfortunately. So I think, and this is why I'm just so grateful to you, Dr. Ineas, Brother Anku, to be here to raise awareness, because, you know, I feel like every woman wants to do better, but in order to do better, you have to know better, right? Mm-hmm. You are the only opportunity you have to essentially improve your situation is by knowing what your options are. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, many women will say to me, well, you know, I went to my doctor and why didn't he or she recommend me come to you? And, you know, I think for me, the first thing I can say is that as an interventional radiologist, I am, as you mentioned kindly, I'm the only just board certified fellowship trained in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. When I first started doing this work in 2021 in the Bahamas, coming from the U.S. a week a month in order to offer our services. At the time, there was only two of us in the entire English-speaking Caribbean.
Wow.
Only one other person in Trinidad. Since then, there's been another person who's from the U.K. who goes to Barbados every few months for a period of time, but does other procedures as we all do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because we're treating different things, enlarged prostates, knee osteoarthritis, blocked fallopian tubes, we're not really sort of advertising, quote unquote. We're just, when people come to us, we treat. So many gynecologists may not even know I exist, right? Which is obviously why we're here, right? Mm-hmm. So, but certainly also many persons who may know I exist may not actually not understand what I do.
Right.
And so I think that may be sort of the challenge. And so when I hear a woman like this, the first thing I would say is that if you have fibroids, well, I will even back up. If we know that 80 to 90% of women of African descent, which is what many women in this country are, have fibroids, the first thing I would say to you is that it's a matter of when.
Mm. Wow.
Okay? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So what that means is that if you, right now, or in a group, your office, at a table with other women, if you look around, some of you have fibroids and know it, and some of you have fibroids and don't know it, okay? So what that means is that you probably want to figure out how you can get assessed. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's no sort of institutionalized sort of screening universal recommendations for fibroids, okay? And there are a number of reasons for that, okay? But what that means is that we need to understand, well, why do women delay presentation? Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I talk about fibroids, I talk about fibroids as if I'm talking about a tick on a dog or a parasite. A tick on a dog, if you see a tick, the very first day it lands on the dog, it's like a little baby tick. It's a cute little thing, right? But you give that little fella some time on that dog, and he swell right up, right? Yeah. But the dog, you'd be like, well, why the dog ain't take it off? Because he just adjusted to how it felt over time, okay? Same thing with a parasite. Parasite's job is to never let you know they exist.
Wow.
They just want to be inside you. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to know that they exist, so they will slowly increase what they're extracting from you over time, just so you don't separate yourself from them, because they live in because of you, right? So fibroid will cease to exist if you recognize it as present. It has developed this relationship with you where it is getting the benefit of you. And so it does not want you to know. So if you look at 80 to 90% of women having fibroids, what we also know is that about a third of those women, about 30, 35% of those women, don't even know that they have it.
Right.
Why? Their periods, if you look at the past 5 years, maybe it was one, two pads a month in terms of their highest sort of maximum period day. Then the next year, it went to three pads. Next year, four pads. Next year, five pads. And now we had six pads. And you talk to them now, my periods are not as heavy as, you know, my sisters are. Okay. But it, because it occurred slowly over time, you may ask them symptoms. Okay, well, how many times are you waking up in the middle of the night? About four times in the middle of the night to urinate, you know. I said, well, 5 years ago, what was it like? Okay, well, one time. Next year, two times. Three. So slowly over time, they've adapted to it. Same thing with intercourse, right? How was intercourse for you 2 years ago? Doc, of course. It was amazing. I said, well, how is it now? You know, I could tolerate certain positions. You talk to a woman a year, you know, I may have her and her husband or partner in my office and the guy may be in the corner, you know, screw face, because he is very sad that over the past 6 months, his partner somehow doesn't want to have intercourse with him, right? Mm-hmm. And these things happen so slowly over time that women adapt to it like it's normal. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, women, as this is why I think fibroids are such a difficult epidemic for women, because women are so resilient, right? Women don't put up the white flag. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't surrender, right? Mm-hmm. They just fight through it. And we talk about suffering and silence. That is in part and parcel of the issue, is that they have adjusted and adapted, and they just identify with it. They say, I have heavy periods. Oh, I have pain on intercourse. Mm-hmm. Oh, I go to the bathroom multiple times a night. Oh, I have had miscarriages. It's now part of the identity. No, it's not a part of your identity. It's the fibroid's identity. And so we need to separate that from you, so you understand that it is something that we can fully treat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Powerful, man. This texter said, hello, I shrunk my fibroids naturally. Okay, congratulations. Do you come across people who will tell you that they've found some remedy, or that they've been able to shrink their fibroids naturally? Or
great question. So let's address this and sort of unpack this. Mm-hmm. So every month, when we talk to women who come into my office, you know, I ask them, do you experience bloating? So if I have, say, one person who will say, yeah, I experience bloating. I say, well, when do you experience bloating? They say, well, typically, you know, leading up to my period, and it gets really, really bad during my periods. And then I say, well, where after your periods do you get relief? They say, yeah. I say, man, I feel real good after my period. I say, okay, cool. And then the next month, the same thing again. They say, yeah, I feel like I engorge, man. I sting my bees all over this area. I say, okay, but then it gets better after your period. Okay, so if you imagine the fibroids, they are swelling up every month, okay? Swelling, mm-hmm. swelling. And then the period, then they release the blood they don't need, and so they get smaller, mm-hmm. okay? Then the next month, they do the exact same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, right? So if I was to measure you, right, at time point, first day, right? If I measure them on day 15, they're going to be a different size. If I measure them on day 20, a different size. Measure them on day 25, a different size. So what is the herbal supplements, what do, right? They prevent those fluctuations. Mm. So you may go where you say, man, this is at maximum 10 centimeters, maximum, okay? So you feel them a gorge. You know what a 10 centimeters feels like, because that's the pants you can get into when you get into them, right? Now, at the lowest, post-period, it may be what? Maybe 5 mm-hmm. centimeters. Mm-hmm. That's your ability to get into them pants. So if you take in the herbal supplements, right, you notice that the changes are not between 5 and 10 anymore. They just stay at 5. So the growth is not 5 to 10 every month, right? The actual growth may be millimeters on days, okay? And so the 5 centimeters will definitely grow over time, but it won't have those drastic fluctuations, so you notice it more. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? Yes. That's number one. The second thing is that it's just like a woman. I had a patient who I treated her, okay? And then somehow she ended up by a gynecologist. Gynecologist said, well, Higgins treated you. I need to do a follow-up on you, which I just thought was very strange. I said, well, why would this person ask you to come back to them? Mm-hmm. So she didn't come back to me. We couldn't find her, okay? So she said, doc, I'm scheduled for another surgery. I said, what do you mean you're scheduled for another surgery? So doc did this ultrasound in his office, and he showed me these fibroids. They're still there. And I said, okay, you know, we don't usually do the MRI at this point, but let's do the MRI right now, okay? And so we did the MRI, and I showed her the pre, right? Okay, this is what it looked like, the size, mm-hmm. bunch of white light bulbs, all whatever, and X sizes. Then we did a post in the MRI, and I showed her black spots, no blood flow, and they're all shrinking. And I, independent party, measured them, and I showed them the fact that even now at 3 months, we usually measured at 6 months, you see how much it's decreased, 30 to 40%. The decrease in size is just basically a marker. It's living versus dead. If you have rats in your house, right, and exterminators come and they kill the rats, right, you don't go around measuring the rats. You just want to know if they're living or they're dead. You understand? So if you come around and you take an ultrasound and you say, man, this a rat. But they are dead.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to do surgery on something that's dead, then unfortunately. So when she saw that, she then canceled it, right? I had to have a conversation with her and her mother about this. Mm. You know, but unfortunately, because it's misinformation, it's easy to be duped. And so we need people to understand not only what we do is treat fibroids and take them from living to dead, they also have a decreasing effect. One of the things people ask me, and they say, well, Dr. Higgins, what happens to these dead fibroids? So fibroids are tumors made out of muscle tissue. Tumors made out of muscle tissue. So what that means is they behave the same way muscles do. If I had a big bodybuilder who goes in the Princess Margaret Hospital for a month, right? Heaven forbid, car accident. What would happen to his muscles a month later?
They shrink.
But nobody said, where does my muscles go on, man? Right. What Princess Margaret did to his muscles? No. His body metabolized his muscles. When the body needs energy, what does it attack first? It attacks carbohydrates, usually the starch in the last meal. Then it goes after fat. You start seeing the fat melt away, right? Nobody says, man, where the fat gone? Where the fat gone, man? Did he urinate it out? Did he have a bowel movement? No. Nobody says, because it just burned away. But then the next thing that goes is the muscles, right? The body attacks the muscles for energy last. So the beautiful thing about the fibroids, it is a lump of muscle. So what women, I remember I had this lady and I could, you know, I won't call her name, but she's a teacher. And she came, was it 2 Augusts ago? We had a procedure. I remember before the procedure, her energy level was like a 4 out of 10. After procedure, it's about an 8, okay? Then the following January now, so January 2025 now, so it's about 6 months later, she said, man, doc. She said, I said, how you feel now? She said, man, doc, of course, I look good, I feel great. But she said, but doc, let me tell you, my energy level, I remember I tell you 8 out of 10 before. I said 10 out of 10 now. Wow. She said, man, explain this to me, dog. I don't understand. I feel like I run circles around these kids in school. And I said, remember I gave you that analogy of the ice cube? I said, if you have an ice cube, okay, on the table, and I have it in a little cup, and today I come and I check how much liquid has melted away. If I come tomorrow, is it going to be more liquid in the cup or less liquid? She said, more. I said, but if I come a week later, is it going to be more liquid or less liquid? She said, more. I said, if you come a month later, is it going to be more or less? It could be more. I said, as long as that fibroid is there and the body is metabolizing it, you can get energy from it. What do we learn in general science? Energy is neither created nor destroyed. Yes. It just transfers. So the fibroid use you. Now you're using it.
Wow. This text says, good day. I know this is not a part of your topic, but does Dr. Higgins treat a collapsing uterus?
Dr. Higgins, unfortunately, does not treat a collapsing uterus.
Okay. So sorry, Dr. Higgins, can't assist you with that. Let's see here. I don't know if this person just is spelling something wrong or trying to be facetious. Can you treat homophobia the same way? No, I don't think you can treat homophobia. So we'll just move past that. There's some myths around and give us the proper name for the treatment, embolization.
Yeah, so it's called uterine fibroid embolization or uterine artery embolization. The reason we use uterine fibroid embolization is because we're talking about the blood supply to the fibroids. Mm. So I remember somebody asked, when you're in, you know, treating the fibroids, how do you ensure that, you're not blocking up the blood supply to everywhere else? It's because I'm in the blood supply to the fibroids. This is their blood supply. This is their little spider web that they create, that they hijack from the uterus, and that's where we treat it. There's also uterine artery embolization. The reason I also use the term uterine artery embolization is because I treat a lesser known disease that's called adenomyosis. Okay, adenomyosis occurs in a lesser sort of frequency of women, but the difference is that it is a condition and typically doesn't have the major bloating associated with fibroids. It can cause painful periods. It can cause heavy periods. Okay, those are the two main issues that occurs in the setting of those women. Instead of tumors developing, there's glands that occur in the inside of the uterus that are called endometrial glands. These are the glands that basically sort of thicken in the form of, and then slough off in the form of period every month. Those glands basically what we call invaginate. They get squeezed into the muscle of the womb, and then the womb basically sort of almost decapitates them, and they get stuck in that area. And because they're so used to expanding every month, they do that. but they can't go anywhere. They can't bleed because they're trapped. Wow. Okay, and so the women have excruciating pain. So in that case, I call it uterine artery embolization because we're trying to locate the blood supply to those adenomyotic pieces of tissue. Mm. In the case of fibroid embolization, we're trying to find the blood supply to the fibroid. So two different conditions. What is the only known treatment for adenomyosis? Hysterectomy. Nothing else. So women in the Bahamas and the Caribbean, a lady from Barbados and Virgin Islands reached out to me recently about this. These are women who only know that hysterectomy is the option. Suffer or hysterectomy. So there's a treatment for this. Actually, my mentor at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Richard Slansky Goldberg, he developed the procedure for this, and I trained directly under him. Mm-hmm. And so this is a procedure I offer those women. And then fibroid embolization is basically the same type of procedure, same 2-millimeter incision, but we're basically treating all the entire roots to the entire fibroid system as opposed to basically cutting branches the way a surgeon would do. Surgeons have, if the surgeon doesn't see a fibroid, they can't remove it, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like, so if I'm trying to cut the tree down, if I don't see a branch, I can't cut the branch. But if I find all the roots to the tree could have 10,000 branches, but it could have 10 roots. If I find them 10 roots, the tree will succumb.
Great. So this procedure, this is minimally invasive, so what does that mean exactly? How much of the patient is going to have to, you know, be cut or dealt with?
You gotta ask the patient's mind.
Yeah. What was your experience?
I mean, like 2 days after, because we had to put a Band-Aid over it. We couldn't even find the spot to put the Band-Aid over it. That's how tiny it was. So it was just literally a little cut.
A little cut.
Yeah, like a little nick.
Yeah, like a little brick.
Yeah. Wow. I had to take a picture of it, and I still can't even see it in the picture.
Yeah, I don't even see it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's just one cut, or is it multiple cuts?
One. By the groin area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little prick.
Yeah. Wow, so you're not worried about scarring or anything like that?
Yeah, because Dr. Dickens was like, make sure I just put a band, cover it with a Band-Aid. I mean, my husband was like, We'll be covering with a Band-Aid.
You were not walking on a gauze and then you were coming like, I just come out of this procedure, man, you know? Talking about Band-Aid.
Wow.
So just one little neck and you can't even see it anymore.
You can't even see it anymore compared to what I thought I was going to have to go through before.
Wow. Let's see. Okay, I did read that post because I didn't know if he was being facetious or not. Okay, they say sorry about my spelling. I mean, hemorrhoids. They wanted to know if you could deal with hemorrhoids the same you deal with fibroids.
That's a great question. So I do also treat hemorrhoids.
Okay,
it's so interesting because as the only interventionalist in the Bahamas, I've opted to sort of focus so people know me for X. And this is, in my mind, the greatest epidemic. If you came to me, could I treat your hemorrhoids? Absolutely. If you have you're a man with enlarged prostate, 100%. Mm. This is what I do, right? So so hemorrhoids are certainly something that we treat, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How often are you seeing men with these enlarged prostates? Is it as common as the fibroids?
Some would say it could be more common, right?
Really?
Men are going to have large symptomatic prostates. Men over 60, 60% of them are going to have. Over 70, the number jumps to 70. Over 80, 80%. You know, I just, what has been happening now, where, you know, I'll make a comment over fibroids and I'll come back to prostate. Mm-hmm. You know, when I see a doctor who doesn't send me patients, from their practice, but they send me their family members, that's when I know they believe in what I do.
Wow.
Okay. But in the case of the prostates, you know, I've had quite a number of VIPs who basically presented themselves as referrals from persons who know what I do behind closed doors, i.e. as an interventionalist. And so that is what I've been sort of treating, because I've not been letting people know that, obviously, enlarged prostate is something I do. But the treatment I offer for men with enlarged prostate is I go through a little 2-millimeter incision in the groin, exact same way. And what happens with the prostate is, if you imagine, a little piglet, okay? That's the prostate, okay? Mm-hmm. If you imagine now that piglet has access to all the food it wants and it becomes a hog, okay, that's a big prostate, okay? What we do now is all of the blood supply that now is responsible for that excess tissue that developed from that little piglet to that hog, we basically prune that off, okay? Mm-hmm. So now it gets right back to little piglet size, okay? Mm. And what that means is that you can now urinate the way you would normally urinate. You can now evacuate your bladder the way you would normally evacuate your bladder. Mm. And what do you have to show for it? You basically have a 2-millimeter incision and a month. As one patient said to me the other day, it's like, man, I feel like I've been peeing for 20 years now, right? He said, the stream, doctor.
Fire hose.
They said, man, when I urinate, it ain't trickle. No. It's
right.
Shower on, right? So that's what we notice. And so this is the gentler treatment. And what's beautiful about this treatment is that the prostate artery embolization, the PAE, is actually recommended by the American Urological Association. Because of what? Because the outcomes are actually equivalent to what TURP. TURP is transurethral resection of the prostate, right? This is where they put in almost like a corkscrew into the penis and the urethra and they core it out, right? Mm. And the issues with that is that you end up with what? Retrograde ejaculation, more often than not, and you end up with sexual dysfunction more often than not, okay? And those are the risks of the procedure.
Yeah, by the time as you say the corkscrew, I'd be like, ah!
Yeah. So the beautiful thing about this procedure is it what? It improves the stream, it reduces the prostate, and it has none of the sexual dysfunction associated. So my colleagues in the U.S., right, and I've been invited to assist with these as well, but of course my focus is on the Bahamas and the Caribbean, is they actually offer these treatments as apartments in the U.S., including TURP, including laser and things, but people love the PAE. I mean, in one center, you know, one of my colleagues, Dr. Bagel, I mean, every month, you know, they treat hundreds of patients every month. Mm. So now myself, you know, I'm proud to say that I offer this treatment in concert with one of my partners, Dr. Robin Roberts. And so he and I have actually been treating a lot of patients and offering this treatment too. And so this is something that we're a month early on this, but next month we're going to be announcing that this is something that we're going to be offering here in the Bahamas and across the Caribbean. And so so people traveling from all parts of the English speaking Caribbean to the Bahamas to be treated for prostate artery embolization.
We can definitely have to get you back. Now I just want to be clear for our listeners. When you say enlarged prostate, that's not the same thing as prostate cancer. Right?
No. So let me define. So the prostate itself, as I said, it grows. Right. Mm-hmm. There's two types of growth. There's growth that's called hyperplasia, and there's growth that's called hypertrophy. Right. So you know, if you do bicep curls in the gym, right, static bicep curls, right, increasing the muscle weight, you will hypertrophy the muscle. You want that, right?
Right.
So that's good hypertrophy. Hyperplasia is basically, hypertrophy is the enlargement of the gland, but then you also have the increase in the blood supply to the gland, which is the hyperplasia. So the reason I get to do what I do is because in the same way that in you can increase in the bicep curls, you get hypertrophy, you have increased what we call vascularity in your arm. Look at somebody who has, you know, big biceps, they have more drainage because they have to drain larger muscles. So same way that we have more large prostate. And so I benefit from all those little tiny branches that shouldn't have been there, and they wouldn't have been there 20 years ago, but they've grown. So now I get to see all these old little new fellas that come in the past 20 years. These Johnny-come-latelys. So let me take these Johnny-come-latelys out, and then pruning those Johnny-come-latelys blood vessels now, it reduces the size. So that's hyperplasia, hypertrophy. On the other side, you have prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is where you either have essentially a area of the tissue that is suffering from uncontrolled growth. Okay, it basically is a horse that is continuing to run, and it's out the barn, it's in the streets, it's on Bay Street, it's Shirley Street. It's lost control. Yeah. That is prostate cancer. But the other thing about cancer is cancer doesn't just wreak havoc and grow in its organ of interest. It can take its show on the road. So prostate cancer doesn't just become prostate cancer and wreak havoc in the prostate. It can take itself to the bones, okay? It can take itself to other organs. And that's why cancer is what it is.
Yeah, right? I see we got our first call, so let's jump on the phone lines here. 323-6232. 325-4316-325-4259, the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Call you live.
Yeah, blessed, Uncle. Blessed to the sound like the doctor in the studio. Dr. Higgins,
yes.
Yeah, well, once you call Dr. Robin's name, that's also one of my heroes in this dilemma, right?
Yes.
But I was like, from a patient's perspective, well, thank God, like, I mean, I know I still fertile after the two TURPs because I had two children. I don't need to prove that, but what I'm saying is, you talk about the retrograde ejaculation, that exists, but what I would like for is to have a post-dialogue with patients, and so y'all would learn more versus, you know, what people saying and what's the norm, because as it relates to me, right? The problem is, and you all caught me talking my business on the radio now. I had one of the biggest ones they'd ever seen. And Dr. Robbie, I'm just sitting there telling me. So, and they, you know what I mean? And so, you know.
Biggest prostate? Let me just mess with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, and so the first one had to be discontinued.
Okay.
Because of the bleeding. And so, you know, I think I had to get a transfusion after the confusion, right? But the thing is, I lost a lot of blood. So the TURP, that was the old way as relates to the way they cut it. So I know they have the vaporization and all these layers, the process that seal off blood vessels, et cetera, et cetera. So my question to you is from my perspective as a patient. Two things I'd like to say before I leave the airways is the fact that because of the size of my prostate, it posed a problem. So I end up wearing a suprapubic and a catheter at one point in time. But the thing is, the vascular regrowth post-surgery, I was bleeding intermittently. Sometimes I would go 6 months without bleeding. And then it would never be a year without bleeding. Sometimes I may bleed a couple times a year, you'll see it. So I wanted you to pose the question of, how does that juxtapose with the vascular regrowth? Because the intermittent bleeding seems to be the problem post-surgery. Maybe I might have this unique problem. I just hang up and listen.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah, no, so I appreciate that question. So first of all, I'm sorry for what you've been going through, and thank you for taking the time to share, obviously, what you've been going through. I think it's very hard for women to share what women go through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it could be maybe a little harder for fellas to share what they're going through. So I honor you, brother, for coming on the airways. So first and foremost, when a surgeon goes in, a surgeon does what we were talking about earlier, was they cut. They cut, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. They're cutting things that should not be there and removing it, okay? Mm-hmm. So of course, their goal when they finish cutting is to ensure that there's what we call hemostasis, that essentially the bleeding stops. Now, in the case of a prostate that's enlarged, as I said, it is not just enlarged, hypertrophied, it is hypoplastic. There's increased blood vessels that usually should normally be there, and so those are actually prone to bleeding. One of the symptoms of an enlarged prostate is what we call lower urinary tract symptoms. So, okay, you know, you try to evacuate your bladder and you don't feel like you can get it all out because the prostate is pushing on the bladder, and so it's creating these little nooks and crannies for you to be in there, okay? You also have issues where the stream is a little sort of, you know, it's not as strong, so because the prostate is sort of almost holding on that urethra, okay? So the stream is less. You may have difficulty initiating the stream, okay? So you start, okay, but then you don't come out right away. Or you may have dribbling, okay, because now the prostate is sort of cramping. Or you may not be able to sort of, you know, start and stop. So those are lower urinary tract symptoms, okay? Or you may get to a point where you just suffer from retention, where you can't even go. They got to put a catheter beside you in order to get what's in the bladder to come up, okay? Right. That's the worst case scenario. But then you could get beyond that, right? Or you can even bypass some of those symptoms and get to a point where the prostate just bleeds. It gets so big and bossy, you know, as they say in Jamaica, and it starts bleeding. Mm. It's just so big and so vascular, it just bleeds. And so now if you think about that, a surgeon cutting into that big vascular prostate, it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
So as great as our surgeons are, and you obviously mentioned Dr. Robin Roberts, who's one of my partners who I work with, you know, he is a savant, but if the prostate is extremely vascular,
you're going to hit something.
You're going to hit something. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. The problem is what the problem is. And so the question now is, how do you bring in a partner like myself whose job is to do precisely that, which is block off the blood supply to those vessels? So the reason why the American Urological Association sort of partners with the Society of Interventional Radiology, of which obviously I'm a member, is because of the fact that we can come in a scenario like that. Right? Just like when it's time, sometimes the Army goes in, sometimes the Navy goes in, but sometimes you need the Navy SEALs to go in, right?
Right.
So we go in as the SEALs and block off the blood supply. Mm. So the issues that you talk about are never issues that we encounter because we went in specifically to solve that problem, right? So there's a group of patients, vast majority of patients who have this issue that reach a certain size. The size that becomes for the urologist is the size that we work best with. The more vascular, the better, because why? We are working in the vessels. Right. So the harder the surgery is for you mentioned the names of Dr. Pinto and Dr. Roberts, the easier it is for me, because the more vessels, the better results you're going to get. Mm. Right. And my patients speak that. My patients don't have the experiences that you have, that you sort of mentioned, because obviously they entered obviously the door by you know, not by cutting, right? They entered it by being sort of having the sort of vessels being pruned and blocked off. So that is the difference, which is why being able to offer this treatment with Dr. Roberts in tandem with him is such a beautiful thing, because we can pick who's the best person for him and who's the best person for me.
Yeah.
And the patient is the one that benefits. There's not a one-size-fit-all. Because I'm a surgeon, I will always recommend surgery for you. Mm. No. We now have a partnership whereby if there's a patient that obviously is going to benefit obviously from his treatment, then that's the one he'll treat.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then it's mine. And so this is why obviously the beautiful thing about making people aware, so that we can actually have these kinds of conversations.
Right. See another call here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Uncle, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Dr. Higgins.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, brother.
As you can see, it is great to have the educational component in every conversation, allowing persons out there with the little knowledge that they do have about medical, especially as it applies to them, out to contribute. And then by doing so, if there's any misconceptions, then the person with the knowledge is able to impart the knowledge they have to strengthen the knowledge that one person has. So I thank you for that, Dr. Higgins.
Thank you, sir.
As far as I am concerned, you know, the specialty hospital is something that is most vexing for some persons here after really looking at the specifics of what they want to do with this hospital. Some of us are actually out here agitating that this thing should go beyond children and women and actually include men.
Mm.
And because of that, you call it a specialty hospital. The stuff that you, Dr. Pinto, Robin Roberts, and so on and so forth has done can actually also be inculcated in that facility where men are also looked after. But here's the kicker for that facility on the whole that I address, and perhaps I am wondering whether there would be some consideration for it. Those are in the medical profession that is pursued, and even from the naturopathic standpoint, if there is a particular lab that could be attached to it where our own bush medicines and stuff, you know, persons can come and do foot research into that to find natural healing processes for the body, because the body basically, in closing, the body actually tries to repair itself on its own terms once it has all of the ingredients necessary to bring about healing. What is your thoughts on that, Dr. Higgins? That's why I really called to get your input on it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, caller.
So first of all, foremost, thank you so much, caller. Really appreciate your kind acknowledgement and you taking the time to call. So first and foremost, I'll start with the latter point and then move to the former. So I am a firm believer that medicine is at the intersection of East meets West. Okay. Mm. So, you know, people say, well, you're an naturopathic man, or you're a Western, you know, allopathic and osteopathic medicine guy. No, I am both. Okay. Because I understand, you know, if you even look at, you know, what Hippocrates, you know, said, and, you know, it's heal thyself, right? You know, food is thy medicine, okay? And so we have to understand that one of the things...
He got that from Imhotep, but anyway, Exactly.
So if you... And 100% true. Mm-hmm. So if you look at sort of one of the things that doctors are not educated on in medicine is what? Nutrition, right?
That's true.
They're not. We're not, okay? And we could discuss conspiracy theories perhaps in another call, right? But what we will say is that is extremely important, right? Preventive medicine is extremely important. So you talk about the bush medicines, you talk about these things. Yes, they exist. However, unfortunately, it's not regulated, right? So you have a lot of people who do know things and have learned, but it's not sort of regulated. So you have issues in places like Jamaica where persons are maybe taking things more than they should, and they end up with toxicities, right? Mm. And so there's not sort of an accreditation and standardization, but the benefits are there. Okay, the benefits are truly there. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that this is something that we pay attention to and we support and we develop. So not cast it out as being sort of something that doesn't have its place. That's number one. But nutrition of itself always has its place. So that's the second point. The third point is that in terms of you talking about sort of the hospital, you know, I do think it's important for us to have a multi-specialties hospital whereby we can bring to bear the benefits that are in the Bahamas, right? And persons like myself, you know, prior to 2023, you know, I wasn't here sort of full time. Prior to 2021, I wasn't even here at all. So this, what I'm talking about is something that, that wasn't even present. But I do think that that is something that is an opportunity. You know, my role is always to just serve, okay? From 2023, 2024 up until, you know, present, I've been doing the bulk of my procedures in Florida. People from all over the Caribbean, from Guyana, you know, Trinidad and, you know, British Virgin Islands and Bermuda have all come to where, you know, in the Bahamas have all come to where? Florida, for me to treat them, because in their own places, they... this doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay. So,
right.
So when there's an opportunity to treat people here in the Bahamas, then certainly I will be the first person, obviously, to support that. But my goal is to just serve and serve and serve and serve in the capacity and the venue that, that yeah. reveals itself. And certainly if there's an opportunity to present, you know, and to treat others in the multi-specialty center, I will be the first person to be there.
Amen. Amen. Good answer. Right. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Dr. Anku, right?
Yeah, this is Dr. Anku and also Dr. Higgins.
Yes. You have me listening to your show, and I salute you. Dr. Higgins, how are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. And yourself?
Thank you. And the two ladies, the guests that you interview a little earlier in the show, I salute persons like yourself, who offered to serve this country and educate. And it's nothing wrong with one listening to be informed. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that Dr. Anku have you.
We're going to get him back. He's a busy man. We're going to find time. Yeah.
Yes. Also, man, to be, you know, connect yourself to listening, and you can also educate yourself. My favorite, you know, prostate as we age. I know that is not your specialty, but we listen. I listen to Dr. Pinto, Dr. Francis, and the most great Dr. Robin Roberts. But God have persons like yourself to help this country and to serve. But only one thing, I don't want to change your show, the premise of your show. Mm-hmm. It seems like being over 70 now and being informed now with little knowledge about prostate, our sisters and wives have a problem that a man need 21 ejaculation a month.
That's tomorrow's show. That's tomorrow's show. you know we do on the show.
But it do the database. What I got from the good doctors, Dr. Robin Roberts and Dr. Pinto, Dr. Francis, it helped me. I believe that
21 gun salute.
I believe that, you know, as men educate themselves, get married to their beautiful wives,
yes,
take care of themselves, and I believe they can have a 21 gun salute for a long time.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Thanks.
I appreciate the call.
Love it.
Yeah, Dr. Higgins. Yeah, you guys, as you can see, Guardian Radio today. These are my callers. You know, they know tomorrow we're talking about. We're continuing the conversation of whether Bahamian men should be allowed to have multiple Bahamian wives to increase the Bahamian population. And so, he said, "Oh my goodness, we ain't getting into that right now." Yeah, man. Let's go back to the text line. Are we going to run to a break? I'm going to run to a break, and then we're going to run back to the text line. And of course, the phone line is still open here on Guardian Radio today. Our special guest, Dr. Mikhail Higgins, an interventional radiologist. And my name again is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. Back after this.
Presents JITG Music Fest. Janae Aiko, Ludacris, Ashanti, Nelly, Glorilla, LMA, Maya, Joe, Nice in France, featuring WV, Donnell Jones, Case, Sunshine Anderson, and Kenny Burns, the Isley Brothers, El DeBarge, Stephanie Mills, and the Eighth, Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets and info at jazzinthegardens.com. Jazzinthegardens.com.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. A special guest today, Dr. Mikhail Higgins, an interventional radiologist. We've been talking, a lot of the show has been about fibroids. We did jump into the prostate a little bit. But in these final moments, cost. Someone, like your two patients that came in here, well, you had one texter that said, and so they tell me I need $10,000. What's the cost like? And this is something that the insurance will take care of, or?
Yeah, no, so the cost varies depending on whether you're coming with insurance, out of pocket, or where you're traveling from. And of course, we treat patients from, as I mentioned before, we actually treat patients who come from the US, we treat patients from Bermuda, from Guyana, and everywhere in between. So somebody could pay as little as probably $1,800.
Oh, wow.
Or they can pay as much as $17,000.
Okay? Depending on the condition. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or their insurance status. Right?
Yeah.
So everywhere in between. So that's the way it works. So typically once you come and you see us, we kind of set you up and we understand sort of what your situation is. And then we take it from there.
From there. Yeah. You know, medicine is always... it's costly. It can be costly. Like you said, insurance is... someone actually asked me about bringing insurances, let's say, from America or other parts of the world. Is that something that happens where these procedures can be handled on insurances that aren't necessarily based here in the Bahamas? Or?
Well, so very interesting question. So if you think about in the Bahamas, I would say... there's a large portion of healthcare that's offered to Bahamians that's not offered in the Bahamas, that's offered in the U.S. Mm. And so the way that works is typically there are U.S.-based counterparts that essentially the insurance companies that are sort of here in the Bahamas, that, you know, your CG Atlantics, your Kalinas, Bahama Health of the World, they then have sort of maybe sort of counterparts that are third-party insurance that will then sort of pay for that, right? So whether you're going to a Cleveland Clinic or a Baptist or whatever. And so the reverse can also occur. Mm. Or you can set up other things where you can have payment plans from patients in the U.S. Mm. We are probably going to be starting that soon once we sort of kind of get set up here in the Bahamas to start offering things, because there's been about a year and a half that we've not been offering procedures here in the Bahamas because of the absence of equipment. Mm. But as of sort of March onwards, we'll be able to offer things here in the Bahamas, and that'll be something that we'll have set up.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we got about less than 10 minutes, and I want to give our guests an opportunity to really just share how this procedure has changed your life. I know you did mention it to some extent, but off air we were talking about situations where people are getting divorced because of the fibroids, or the relationship is just not the same. I mean, unfortunately... Tia, your husband seemed like he was very supportive.
Very.
That's not always the case, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I just want y'all to share a little bit about your experiences and how it seemed like it was night and day for you. And then I think we have one more call, but just go ahead, because I want people to understand, again, women, you don't have to suffer in silence with regard to the fibroids.
Yeah. It did, like I said, it has really changed my life to the point where I'm not as tired as I used to be. I'm able to walk stairs without getting shortness of breath. I fit in my clothes better, so I'm not ashamed or embarrassed to go out. No pain during my periods, very light periods. I don't even have to wake up at night because it used to be so heavy. I would wake up 2 times a night just so I don't have an accident, so I could sleep peacefully now. And no more constipation. I don't even know, because I've been constipated for so long.
Mm.
I have good bowel movements now, so that is a blessing alone, because mm-hmm. that's a very uncomfortable experience,
mm-hmm.
you know. But and I just feel like a brand new person.
Wow,
a brand new person.
That says it all. That
yes.
says it all. Yeah, brand new.
Yeah,
person.
I don't miss being pregnant. I mean, I wasn't pregnant,
but I felt
pregnant.
Wow. At least when you're pregnant, you know something.
Exactly,
you know?
And I was confused at one point. I was like, "Am I pregnant?"
Right.
Because it was crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I must say the same thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Come a little closer to the mic, yeah.
I really feel more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not suffering with heavy menstrual.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, in terms of tiredness, you know, I used to really feel exhausted and all that stuff, so I'm not feeling that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, whatever happened during that procedure, my skin is also glowing.
Really? It is. Yes. It surely is.
Because for some time I had this dark mask over my face, mm-hmm. you know. So after having the procedure, I noticed within a week, like mm-hmm. that was all fading away. I don't know if Natasha, you experienced
yeah.
that too. But listen, I don't even have to worry about doing facials anymore. You know,
wow.
because I really spent some money doing facials and buying facial products and stuff, but I guess it was all of, you know.
Yeah, symptomatic.
Within, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I must say, anybody that's considering to have this procedure done, please get in contact with Dr. Higgins' office. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's very easy to talk to, you know, and he will just give you all the information you need. You know, the staff is also nice,
mm-hmm.
you know, very, very patient, and I must say the procedure, the bedside manner and all of that stuff, you know, it was a good experience. Like my friend said, it was fun. Yeah,
yeah, I know, right?
It was fun.
Like it was fun.
You know,
yeah.
it was fun.
Especially when you're getting rid of something that you
exactly.
don't want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
That was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was excited.
Yeah.
So we're going to give Dr. Higgins an opportunity to give his contacts in just a second. I think we have a call? Okay. I think they're dealing with that right now. So Doc, anybody who's interested, let them know how they could reach out to you.
Yeah, so you can reach me on TikTok or Instagram at dr.mikhailhiggins. So dr for doctor dot Mikhail, MIKHAILHIGGINS. And that's on Instagram or TikTok. You certainly follow me there. We do a lot of educational content. See a lot of more testimonials. Even this week, we're putting out a lot of more testimonials as well. You can see my website, which is the BahamasFibroidClinic.com. And that also has a ton of information that you may find helpful. And so those would be the sort of two main arenas, the website as well as social media to reach out with. And on there, you can actually get consultations, you know, through the website or through social media, through the Learn More tab.
Mm.
And then within sort of days of sort of submitting the information, you could be in seeing me for a consultation after you submitted any imaging related to development of your fibroids.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Question coming through here.
Sure.
on the text line. Ask your doctor if all of those procedures must take place in a hospital.
That's a good
address that.
So ladies, you want to address it?
Mm.
Well, it was in a hospital. I mean, I thought I was in the wrong place because I thought it would have been a hospital, but it is. It seemed like a doctor's office where they just do minor procedures.
Mm-hmm. Did they, yeah. Would they refer to that as outpatient?
Yeah, so it's called an ambulatory surgical center, right? Okay. So it's a cath lab and an ambulatory surgical center. So you come in, you know, you get sort of worked up. You know, I think the days that these ladies came in, you know, you had, you know, people being seen in clinic and they walked past those persons and then they went in the back. And then, of course, we had areas that are sort of recovery type areas mm-hmm. that look like a hospital, but it's not. It's much chill.
Yeah.
And then you go into the cath lab and that's where the concerts are held. Right?
The concert and the movie.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So big screen TV where they watch. And it's so funny because the women who say they're going to fall asleep, they watch the procedure. The women who say they're going to watch the procedure fall asleep.
Right.
So whatever the woman decides to do, it's all gravy, right? And then we talk about it. And usually I take a picture of the incision because they typically don't believe like what it is, you mm-hmm. know? And so by the time the bandage comes off, you know, 2-3 days later, then I show them what it looks like and typically it's gone. So very, very chill. And then they're out usually 2 hours to 3 hours after the procedure and they recover for that first night. And that first night is the main night. Once they get past the night, then everything is there in the gravy train after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they're asking for a couple extra weeks.
Exactly.
So they can,
yeah, exactly.
I know I really supposed to have it, but...
We suffer for so long. Why not?
Exactly. You deserve it, right?
You know?
You deserve some weeks to yourself.
Exactly.
After suffering 100%. So long. Listen, we are out of time. Our special guest today, Dr. Mikhail Higgins, interventional radiologist. He doesn't only deal with fibroids or the process. He can go anywhere in the body. Wherever he needs to work, he can work. So we're going to have you back at your earliest, whoever you want to bring along, because, you know, I think it's important for people to understand their options.
100%.
You know, I don't think people should feel handicapped by a system where people are telling them, no, this is the only thing you can do because it's not the case, right? But again, my name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Yes, blessings to all of the texters, those who called in. The talking heads, Naughty and MJ, are up next. So keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Namaste, family.